Father, we thank you. Kingdoms have gone, come and gone. Kings, artists, poets, great men, little men, epochs, ages. For your word and your name has never been vanquished. Scientists have made up and changed their minds. But the word from your mouth has never returned to you void, and the throne of Jesus has never been undermined. You have proved by your steadfastness, according to the words of your prophets, that you are God, and the word you speak is true. We come and we die, but thy throne, O Lord, is forever and ever. There are coronations, removal of kings, kings becoming knaves, knaves becoming kings. But the scepter of your kingdom is the right scepter. Your word is criticized, abused, ignored, forgotten, but it abides forever. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, because there's not a man like you. Thank you for your salvation that will never be vanquished. Father, we pray that you give to us ears that hear, eyes that see the secret of creation, hearts that understand in humility what is the counsel of the living God. Father, we are poor and beggarly, and we are no better than anyone else, for you have mercy on whom you will have mercy, not by our cleverness, our character. Your compassion is on whom you will have compassion. But I choose to have compassion upon us. You who are able to do exceedingly, abundantly above anything we can ask or think about this morning. I pray, Lord, that it will please you to interject your thoughts, project it upon ours. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. So many things I want to talk about this morning, but I think because we have 30 minutes. Sister Ronke, keep me honest. 30 minutes. I have to choose to pick. Whatever the English word, I think I stayed too long at the beginning yesterday. I'm still trying to gather myself. I'll have to choose to pick two. And I choose this morning that we'll talk about the significance of what we'll be doing next Saturday. As we went through baptismal class with those to be baptized yesterday, I realized that those of us as a church, we also ought to understand what it is that baptism is. So I took the liberty of making a shorter form of what you guys went through, maybe not really, so that every household we have one. In New Covenant Church, we have practices and beliefs. And we'll be talking about what we believe on different topics as members. We have a church manual that we're putting together so that you can read it. It will be placed on websites so that anyone coming will know where we stand as a church. Because we're doing baptism, I decided to print out our church manual on baptism so that every family, every man, every woman will be able to know and articulate what it is that this body of Christ believes as it regards baptism. It's part of the doctrines of baptism. If someone would be so kind as to distribute this. So if you want to know where we stand in New Covenant Church about baptism, please take a copy of this. This morning, we read from the book of Matthew chapter 28. Please, let's open our Bibles to Matthew 28 again. And this was the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we always say, I don't know whether you have a red letter Bible. When you have the red letter Bible, please pay attention to the red letter of the Bible. Because the publishers have decided to highlight them as the very words verbatim spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is huge. Those red ones are very, every part of it is important, but those red ones are particularly important for the New Testament Christian. And here, it started by giving us the context. He said, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, what did they do? They worshipped him. But some still doubted. I don't know why the Bible, in this happy story, decided to let us know in the closing of the book of Matthew that even at that critical time, there were still doubters. As we sit down this morning to worship him, there's no doubt that some are still doubting. So you see, the Bible is always true. We are all worshiping. We are all dressed. We all left our homes. We could be on the golf club for those. It's not the club, it's the golf course, right? The club plays the golf, is the place, right? Okay, we could be, for those who are inclined, clack, click, click, clock, click, clock, click, clock. There are some prolific golfers here. No, some. A prolific golfer here. We could be watching TV. But we have all stood up to worship. But as these disciples gathered, they worshipped Jesus. But even amidst them, can you imagine? Some still doubted. How many of us are here? What multiple of 11 are we here? TTT, 9, 10, 11. We're about 5, a multiple of 5 of 11 here. So if there are some amidst 11, then there will be some amidst 55. Or 66. But I don't know why the Bible decided to highlight that. But it went on. And Jesus came, knowing that some were still doubting the validity of his person, even in worship. But he still came and he spoke to them nonetheless. And this was what Jesus said. He said, listen, whether you doubt or not, I will say this. Every authority in Maryland, in London, in the United States, whether you know it or not, every authority in Nigeria, in Guyana, as we speak, has been given to me. And some still doubt it. In heaven and on earth, some still doubted. Because it did not look like the person to whom all authorities have been given. At this moment, the Lord Jesus Christ did not look like he had control over the political situation in our country or over the economy of America as we speak this morning or over the situations in your life. So there was plenty of room for that. So the Lord had to establish that no matter how you feel this morning, all authority, church. Who is going to win the Premier League? Who is, I think that's already determined. I don't know what's on your heart this morning, because on Sunday, that's what's on some people's hearts. Woman City has won. All authority, no matter what's on your heart. I'm just looking for any topic that means all the authority, all the determining factors of this universe has been earned and given to the right owner, our Lord Jesus Christ. Some still doubted. But as a church this morning, knowing that all authority had been given to him, He could have said, go and remove the dictatorship in Venezuela. He could have said, because all authority, church, has been given unto me, march on any landed property and possess it to the wealth of the end of the world. Because all authority has been given unto me, you go and take over Coca-Cola and be the CEO. After all, it's mine. He could have said it. Maya, do you understand? Am I speaking adult speak? You understand? It's simple enough. I want to slow it down. Jesus, your brother, your God and your Lord, is superior to every single person, authority. He owns the corridor of the White House in case you feel you're not connected. You're very connected. It just doesn't seem like it. That's why you still doubt. I want to sneeze. At times we think we're on our own, but I'm not here to pacify you this morning and pre-click some of those sermons. All is well, don't worry, just that's not where Christ is going. Thank you. And see, he gave me the hard one. If you don't want to give me, don't give me. If I give me a hard one, I'll break my nose. Okay. All authority, Jesus, our Lord, as reported by the disciple Matthew, who wrote comprehensively by the Spirit of the Lord what he saw of Jesus, acknowledged that the man before him was worthy of worship. And in the most critical time, this was close to his departure, he had one message for the church. And although he was a man to whom all authority had been given, he did not say to the church, go and possess the land, go and possess the riches. That was for Abraham. He did not speak like someone, and he did not feel to some like he was speaking like someone to whom all authority had been given. So those people may think they have a weak Jesus. They might think if we had Jesus, we will run the church differently. We will not let evil men run over. We will not let all these bad things happen. We will instantly look at the job seeker in church and just, after all, my father has authority. Just put them in a position. Problem solved. He could have done this because all authority had been given to him, but he did not. What did he do? What commandment did he give you and I? Go into the world. Set up a mechanized farm. Make sure all the poor people are fed. Make sure you put together the right governing policies to ensure there's no more suffering to the end of the earth. Go and represent me in UNESCO. Go and be the economist that will bring that theory, that will finally bring equity to the world. No, that's not the message to the church. Say, go ye into the world and do what? Make disciples of all nations. Go ye into the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not in the name of your denomination. He didn't stay there. It's also your responsibility after baptizing them to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And when you're doing this, I will be with you to the end of the world. And as a church, that's what we're determined to do. Make disciples. Our job as a body is not to do business planning and connection. All of these things perish at the grave. They are bread that will not profit for a long time, those who partake of it. But Jesus is the bread of life. The church is supposed to teach people to be holy. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, it's what we're supposed to teach, not the 10 principles of living a good marriage life. If we taught the words of Jesus, marriages will resolve themselves. If we observe his disciples as disciples, we are making this, not membership. If we are making disciples, then there will be peace. Because everybody will answer to Jesus. Lo, I'm with you. Do you wonder then how it feels as though the Lord is no longer in the church? That all we have now are programs and activities. Right? How to make people feel spiritual, whether they are spiritual or not. Are we still teaching people? He said, did he say teach them some things? All things. Teach them the Sermon on the Mount. Teach yourselves. Teach the word. Be the light of the world. Be the city that is set on a hill. As disciples of Jesus, I ask you this morning, is this what your life is about? Is this what our lives is about? Lives are about. So this is the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those other things that we sometimes see on TV, they're a distraction. Oh, how the devil will want us to turn away from this very important thing, discipleship, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching people what Jesus says. We will love it if we are distracted. We have fancy names for it, relationship building. If that relationship is not built on the commandment of Jesus, it's a fake relationship. Because God has not called us to just build relationships. He has called us to build relationships in his name. When we get together, he has not just called us to love one another. He's called us to love one another in the love of God. Even unbelievers love one another. What's the difference between the love you preach and the love of God? The kind of love of God is the kind where, although you receive hate, you give love in return. Satan will not want us to settle for less. At least Shola is a good boy. He has not called us to be good boys. He has called us to be disciples. Go and make disciples. So I'm really happy that on Saturday we're doing that. And we're going to close soon. This is New Covenant Church. We have never spoken about specific points of doctrine and what our beliefs are as a body. And I thank God we have some guests. Some of our beliefs may align with yours, but at least you will know that in this body, this is what they believe. It's only fair. So we have chosen, if you have this, our New Covenant Church believes on baptism. And as we gather next Saturday, I'd like the parents to reiterate this to their children. I'd like us also to be one in our knowledge of God and his will. I'd like us to look at some of the passages and see if these things are true or not. I'll read this and expand on it. We believe that baptism is a vital ceremony that signifies an admission into the church overtly, that's openly. But more significantly, into the spiritual body, which is Jesus. That's one of our first set of beliefs. This belief is founded on the commandments and instructions given by our Lord Jesus in Matthew 28, 16 to 20, which we read. We consider baptism to be a privilege extended to all saints, and it's conducted by full immersion in a body of water. That's what we believe. If anybody asks you, we don't believe that if there's an opportunity to take the time. It's funny, we're looking for a swimming pool. And I remember when the bureaucrats used to have swimming pool. Then nobody in New Covenant Church now. Even Brother Peter used to have this kwekwe pool, Sister Kikena. Even they got rid of it. And we're looking for a body of water. But thank God we have sister churches that we can loan their baptistry of what do you call that stuff? Huh? What? We can't swim. Jordan. I think you might have to be at the lifeguard. You might have to conduct that baptism. You'll be good there. New Covenant Church believes in full immersion. Therefore, we always seek to replicate the experience as patterned in scriptures where it is practicable. If we can access a full body of water, we are going to do immersion. You know what immersion means? Full. However, we do not believe that baptism should be constrained by factors like logistics and facility. What we mean is, honestly, it might be a luxury to have a body of water in some areas of the world. We do not believe that because you cannot reach a body of water honestly, that the grace of baptism is withdrawn from you. Symbolic and necessary adaptation can and should be made where and when necessary without violating the objectives of baptism. What that means is, if honestly there are such constraints and all you have is a cup of water, the substance of baptism is more important than the form. We are not going to say, because you can't find water, then you cannot be baptized. By all the provisions that follow, we establish that our position of baptism is driven by the substance of the ordinance rather than the mere symbolism of being submerged in water. For us, baptism is a little bit more than just being dunked in water. That's what we mean. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Spirit be with his church. If you turn to the other page, we now went into, in our church, what are the conditions in case you want to be baptized in this church? Let's remind one another so that we're all guided by the same rules. We believe that baptism should be conducted with the following proviso. What's the legal word? How do you pronounce that? Proviso. One, shall be performed only for individuals who have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we require that baptismal candidates demonstrate an understanding and commitment to the gospel prior to baptism. So we're not going to baptize strangers that we do not know. And this conviction is based on insight given by John the Baptist in Matthew 3, 7 and 8. Can someone please read that verse for us? Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 8.
Matthew 3, 7 to 8. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Verse 8. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance.
Yeah, that's fine. This is where we derive our conviction. We don't just baptize anybody. These Pharisees and Sadducees presented themselves as candidates for baptism. Because, of course, that was the in thing. Like being born again is the in thing. Or going to church became the in thing once. But John rebuked them. He said it's necessary not just to come, but to show the fruit that is worthy of repentance. Number two thing, baptism shall be conducted upon request and with the full consent of the individual. This invariably precludes the baptism of infants or and others who are not able to demonstrate consent or understanding of the significance of baptism. This is why we don't baptize babies. Because babies cannot agree. Right? We don't compel people. The desire to be baptized must come from that person, not because their mom wants them to be, or because the pastor wants them to be. It must be voluntary. And in due time, the Lord will grant the understanding. 3, we do not baptize anyone that is living in open or known sins. Our belief is based on the Bible teaching in Matthew 3, 1 to 12. Repent. We read part of it. We define open and known sin as any conduct as a generally accepted in the culture you live in as unbecoming of a professing Christian. So if we observe certain character traits that are unbecoming as a Christian, we cannot baptize such an individual. We will not baptize a man that is living in adultery or a woman that is living in fornication. We will not baptize people whose conduct are unbecoming of the name of Jesus that we know. You know, only God can know the heart, but God has given the church the commandment to observe the fruits. It will be a disobedience to Jesus if we do not observe the fruits. And many churches do not. We just lay hands indiscriminately. But in New Covenant Church House, we don't do that. Liars. If a brother has a reputation of never keeping his words, you know, we don't give sin names anymore. That sin is hiding, because you know when something has no name, it's able to hide. But sin used to have name. Lie, fornicator, adultery. There are plenty of them. Please give me some more. Murderer. What is it? Greed. Yeah. Backbiter. Gossip. Stubbornness. It is like the sin of witchcraft. All of these things, the Bible gives them names. And the Holy Ghost will deal with them in our lives in Jesus' name. But as a body, it will be disobedience to Jesus for us to go ahead and baptize if these are known. And the Holy Spirit is not pleased with the church because we no longer examine ourselves. There are pastors behaving unbecoming, choir members running amok, members just leading the way. Greed. We magnify greed. Glorify greed. All we care about is what job do you do, how much money you make. As though Jesus cared about all of those. Jesus did not care about all of those. He cared about your heart. The purity of your heart. Your faithfulness, your meekness, your humility. Now we care about pride. We exalt proud people. Jesus was meek and lowly. Like he rode on the foal of an ass, not a chariot. Although he had all authority, he could have ridden like Herod. He mingled with the poor. Now we discriminate. In fact, James told us, if you are the kind of church that we saw, this man looks magnificent, come to the front. And you look at poor people and you say, hey, wait, let this one. He says, are you not evil? Do you not have sin in your heart? You're thinking like mere men. God does not like it. It is sinful. It is ungodly. That's why the Spirit is not moving in the church. The body of Jesus is not like that. The Lord does not regard persons. The Bible says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at what? So all of these things that annoy and grieve the Spirit, if we see it as a body and we all act like we are blind, we can pray for people's promotion How many times do we pray for backsliders? People's holiness. We care more about their jobs than we care about their souls. Open sin. In New Covenant Church, we're going to try to be able to speak truth and say the body is established for righteousness. So we cannot possibly lay hands on you if we observe open sins. Ibrahim, Toby, as believers, once you are married to Jesus, because baptism is married to Jesus, you cannot hang with the world. You cannot party in the same pubs. You cannot listen to the same music, dance to the same vibes. Dance to vibes, huh? Whatever they do to them. These things used to be simple. Now it's so complex to discuss it. Satan has done his work. We're all confused. We're all so confused. The Bible says in the time of Saul or Eli that the spirit had departed from Israel and every man just did as he pleases. That's what's happening in the church. There's no constraint anymore. Baptism is a unique event to declare openly that, Lord, you are God. I will follow you. So when the Lord shows us that this person is living in open sin, we cannot baptize two unmarried people living together. Call it what it is living in what? Sin, in adultery. It's not fanciful. In fact, we try to cover it. We say, okay, just go and get married and fix it. No, no, no. There's a heart of sin there, and Jesus can break the power of sin. 4, when we decide to withhold, this is important. If and when we decide to withhold baptism from individuals, please do not interpret this as where we join fellowship. We are not here to judge men. But rather, please know that it's the humble desire by the church to act only within the understood boundaries of scriptures pending further clarification. You must always know that your church is bound by the commandment of Jesus. Forgive the elders a little bit. They are men like you. Encourage us. Encourage us to obey the Bible. Hold us to the standard of the Bible. Make sure we don't do anything. If you see us deviating, come. We're not supposed to invent things. Our own is to take, like Jesus said, everything I've commanded you, go and teach them. Whether you consider it fair or unfair, just take what I command you and teach them. It will be well. After all, the church belongs to Jesus. Next, water baptism and saving grace. We do not believe grace. We do not believe that water baptism equals to salvation. So the fact that you are baptized does not mean you are saved. Rather, we believe that with true rebirth will come the desire to identify with the body of Christ through baptism. There's just something about a born-again Christian by the spirit that God has put into him that he wants to fulfill all righteousness. If you remember the story of Jesus, when John the Baptist said, but you don't need to be baptized. And he said, oh, just go ahead and do it because it behooves us to do what? Fulfill all righteousness. And what happened when Jesus subjected himself in? That's the power of obedience. We want to figure it out. After all, it's by grace. What does dunking in water really mean? What has that got to do with true things? Jesus says, do it. And what happened after the Lord Jesus Christ went into water? The Spirit came upon him. Our master, the example of obedience and humility. The absence of a desire to be baptized, however, we do not interpret it as a sign that the work of grace has not occurred, but rather acknowledgement that saints have differing views on the importance and the significance of baptism. We believe that baptism is important, and our belief is premised on the import that the Apostle Paul placed on baptism in his letter in 1 Corinthians 1, 12 to 17. Someone should please read that. First Corinthians 1. Right.
Okay, now this I say, that every one of you see it. Am I of Paul? An eye of Apollos? And an eye of Cephas? An eye of Christ? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, the Crippos and girls, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas beside. I know that whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
See what Paul is saying here. He focused strongly on preaching the gospel. I remember baptizing quite a few people. The others are not in his own name. The others were baptized by others, by other people, not him. That's our position. We do not push baptism as salvation itself. We've focused on the gospel, and we baptize in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we do know that Paul acknowledges that even in the Corinthian churches, they were performing baptism. So baptism is important. Do you get the delicate balance? It is not salvation, but it is important in the church. And when you go through the common, I'm not going to go through it, the common questions of baptism, which we compiled, it will answer a lot of your questions or some of the questions you may have. The final thing is we do keep a baptismal record. And I was joking with Toby and Ibrahim yesterday that, I don't know, Ibrahim may become a surgeon general when he becomes the doctor he wants. Who knows? You may become the Secretary of State, whatever you become. One day someone will want to write a biography of you, right? You wonder how you see a great man's biography and you see a fat book, like they were there every day of their lives. No. Some of what happened was that they went to the schools they went to. They found out who the pastor was. They found out, school teacher, who the teacher was. They found out what the curriculum was. And they wrote a narrative around what this guy's experience in school at that time might have been. And it became a chapter, right? They went to the church that they attended. They found out what the beliefs of that church, they found the baptismal record. So they were able to pinpoint the date that they were baptized. They asked, how does this baptism normally take place in this day? Then they constructed a narrative around it. You are leaving trails, and by the grace of God, as long as it pleases the Lord to preserve and extend the existence of this church, the record of your baptism will also be preserved here. It's a record. So it's a very important part of your life. So I encourage all parents and everybody with this common understanding to please gather, because this is a very important event. Please, every member of this church, read through the questions so that you understand where we stand on baptism. Enforce some of these policies. Hold your elders accountable. If we bring someone that you do not know to be baptized, you can whip this out. Say, this wasn't the directive that God gave to you people. Hold us accountable. We should not be doing things in secret. And we're going to have similar records on what our stand is on everything. Ordination, preaching, naming ceremony, burial. You're going to understand clearly what New Covenant Church Hyattsville, after 26 years of existence, where we stand clearly on every issue, so that when Shola takes over, he will know how to conduct himself in the church of God, which is the pillar and the bulwark of truth. I told you to hold me accountable. We're way, right? How many minutes? On their behalf. Okay, I'd like to close, but I'll before I close, I'd like us to read one verse, and I want to just encourage us as we, those of us who have been talking about being born again. Last week, we talked about the importance that after you're born again of abiding in Christ, right? Which is a topic that I think it's very important in our days, because the problem today is that even those who are born again are not abiding in Christ anymore. They've changed. I don't know whether you've seen it. You met a brother that you got born again together in a fellowship in college, and you can just see that they are no longer abiding in Christ. They've changed. So we are reiterating the importance. In Luke chapter 11, I leave you with these words. Verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I'll close the Bible here. You know why you're powerless as a Christian? You know why you're so bored as a Christian? You know why you feel that there's no vitality as a Christian? You know why you may think that Satan may be winning as a Christian? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was gone, he told, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I will pray my Father. I will send the Holy Spirit. This verse that we just read showed you that it is our job to seek to be filled with the Spirit of God. As some are seeking to come forward to be baptized, how hungry are you for the Holy Spirit? Most of the things we desire cannot be done unless it's by the Spirit. But the Bible says, you receive not because you have not asked. When you do ask me, you're asking me for bread and long life. You're asking me for jobs and mansions. You're asking me for your children's schools. You're asking me for things that will perish. How many of you this morning are actually asking the Lord that give me your spirit or I die? So he's giving you long life. He's giving you what you're asking for. He's giving you great jobs. But because you're not asking for the Spirit, you're not having the fullness of the Spirit. Oh, if only we have asked for the Spirit in the same way we asked to pass our exams. If only we asked for the Spirit in the same way we asked for the welfare of our children, will we not be brimming over with it? Because it says there, he will give this. He said, if Dr. Babs, we look at Shuri, and it's the best thing in the world that he's going to give to Shuri. Then he said the word, how much more? It means I'm more compassionate to you than Dr. Babs can be on Shuri. It's like saying, for sure, if only you will ask me for the Spirit I will give you. But sincerely, as heaven's door opened this morning and he heard all of our prayers, how many of us was the fullness of the Spirit one of the first three items of request this morning? What did the angels hear from your lips? He has always given you what you want. You want a car, you get your Tesla. Not a problem. It will rust. But that's what you asked for. You want your children? Oh, they will do very well. Then you get old, you'll be begging them to call you. That's when you know your children are not your life. Jesus, you are going to be alone. Oh, not that they don't love you, but they're going to have spouses and children, and their focus will be on those. If you like, be bitter. You did the same to your parents. Aren't your parents living alone somewhere in some country? How many times do you call them? Oh, I call them every week. Oh, for the sacrifice they made just every week? But that's all you can give right now, sincerely. And that's fine. But that is life. That's a parable to you. So when you pour your affection on just children and you're not seeking that which will never depart from you, that's what you get. You want jobs? Listen, Max, do you live in America? Age 65, you retire. Max, you'll be left with what? Social Security. And that's when you know Social Security check will be enough for you. You don't really need that much money. But that's what you ask for, and the Lord has done it. But are you the saint that Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, is really active in your life. The Lord, the Holy Ghost is looking at us to go, I don't know whether it's the Holy Ghost. I don't want to testify to what I don't know. But I do know that some of the angels that know the riches of the glory of God, they are looking down to them, they're shaking their heads that these people are asking for toys. Do they not know that in my Father's house, there are many mansions? Ah! These guys have the chance to possess the Spirit of the Most High, and they are asking for toys in the morning. Toys that I even give to unbelievers that are not even asking me. In fact, I give more of it. You know how many unbelievers are doing well? The healthiest people on earth are not Christians. The guy who built the homes in the neighborhood that you are spending your livelihood buying homes and paying mortgages, they are not Christians. The brightest entrepreneurs in the world have nothing. They don't know Jesus. God gives to them all of these things. The smartest people on earth are not believers. Let's not deceive ourselves. Most of your professors in school, they will not be believers. And you will go to them to beg for knowledge every day. And that knowledge is from the Lord. But God has reserved for you the Holy Spirit. Only Christians can get the Holy Spirit. And we're not asking. I'm leaving us today and challenging you that whatever you seek, it's your birthright. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Start asking for the Holy Spirit. Start asking for the Holy Spirit. Don't get tired of asking for the Holy Spirit. If your leg was spinning you, will you get tired of praying that your leg should be healed? If your children are going wayward, will you get tired of asking the Lord to bring them together? So why do you bring them back? So why do you easily get tired of asking for the Holy Spirit, the biggest gift of all? Let us pray. Lord, please change the church. Please help us, Lord. Help us with righteousness and holiness, that we may live in your fullness. Help us not to play games. Please, Father, pour your grace on us. Awaken those who slumber, that we may arise from the dead. Help us. Help us. Father, put the desire for us into us to seek for your Spirit. Help us not to be tired. Help us to be hungry for this. But I know we ask for this over and over and over again, and some people are tired. Baba, please let us, give us the grace to believe in your faithfulness. Like Jacob, not to let off until you bless us. Even though, Lord, our thigh bone may be broken in the process, help us not to fall short of your glory. Until what we profess aligns with who we are, in the name of Jesus. Please, Father, I pray that anyone hearing me this morning, that you make them hungry. I pray that you make everybody here tired of life as is. I pray, Father, that you put a new desire in every heart this morning. I pray, Father, that every blinder will be removed. I pray, God, that nothing will be more beautiful to anybody here than the cross of Jesus, rugged as it is. I pray that you open our eyes to see the glories of the heavens to come. Please, Father, deliver us. Honor your word upon the little children and the big one, the Davids, the Joshuas, the Annas, Father, the Simeons. I pray there will be a new life. This is our prayer, Lord. Don't let everything continue as normal, going to church and coming back. Help us to change nations by the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.